It's so good to see you tonight. God bless you. Good to have you. And we thank God for your church in Adelaide, your family, and Pastor Bill Knott. Wonderful, wonderful people. So good to have you with us here. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Luke, the second chapter? Luke, the second chapter. While you're turning to Luke, the second chapter, I challenge you, although the Christmas lights may dim and Christmas trees go away, and of course that's not what it's all about entirely anyway, but keep the spirit of Christmas in your heart. Read the Matthew account. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. See, there it is. It's just laid out. And also, this account from Luke, some of the most powerful promises in Holy Writ are hidden and intertwined in Matthew and Luke's accounts of the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, promises you can stake your future on. I mean, promises that you can tell the devil what for. Amen. And I just encourage you. I mean, they are still there. I could preach all year just on a few of those promises that are made and the events that happened and how God confirmed his word. We ministered in a little different vein last time we ministered, but let's go and see if we can mine out some more gold here in St. Luke, the second chapter, in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now meditate on that verse for a moment. This man had a word from God. You're not going to leave this life. You're not going to pass away, pass on, until you have seen. Notice that. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Don't have a long time to get into it tonight, but I want to plant some seed, and we'll probably come back and work on it later at another time. But I just feel like God would have us to investigate this wonderful portion of his word tonight, and I'll just cut to the chase and go right to it. I'd like to give a title to this time of sharing in ministry, God's Man in Jerusalem. You know, God has strategic men and women in different places. Sometimes they may be in a hospital or even in a prison or in a workaday world. It's amazing how that God has his people on assignment, on some very different assignments around the world. Now, God's man in Jerusalem, was he the only man of God? No. But when you read this story, he probably was top on the list of God's most important men in Jerusalem. Number one, because, and this theme runs all the way through. I don't have time to develop these thoughts. I'm just going to give you the intro thoughts to them. First of all, Simeon was committed. Simeon was committed. Of course, anyone that knows me knows that I have enjoyed many years skiing and that doesn't seem to be something I'll be doing with the gusto that I've done in days gone by. But you know, in skiing, you ski to a certain point and you look down that hill. But there's got to be a moment of commitment. There's got to be the assurance. If you know reasonably what you're doing, you know what techniques you're going to have to lock yourself into. And you look down there for a moment. That's a long way down. And you look at the grade. Then you think, I've done it before. By God's help, I can do it again. You commit to that mountainside. There's a time in the rodeo when the cowboys commit to the bull or the horse or one of those wild animals. But there's a time they don't have to get into that little booth. They don't have to try to stay out of the bull's way. They're there because they want to do what you're supposed to do to be a cowboy and a bull rider and whatever else. There's a commitment. And today I think there needs to be a stronger commitment among believers. When we look down the hill of life, the mountain of life, and we see people that need Jesus so desperately, and we realize that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is nothing that can satisfy the heart of man like Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that you commit yourself. You commit yourself. There's a time of commitment. And this man was committed. You say, well, how do you know he was committed? Well, first of all, he was committed to God. Heaven knew Simeon. Heaven knew God's man in Jerusalem. He was committed to God. So that means you're not here tonight and say, well, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. Maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. That's why we try to include in the plan of salvation there are people that still come into all of our services that really don't know for sure that they're born again. And you should have that locked in iron assurance. Yes, I know Him. I have invited Him into my heart. I am a born again child of God. But he was committed to God. He wasn't committed to serving the devil one day and God the next. This man was committed to God and whatever God was up to. He was God's man in Jerusalem. Secondly, he was committed unto the Holy Ghost. As I reread this story, I don't know why or how I missed it. I know I saw the Holy Ghost, but there's three references to the Spirit. And as I read this, you see, this man was committed. He was committed. I said he was committed. He was so committed to God that he got a word from God. And he was so committed to the things of God that he embraced that word. You can't be on one day and off the next and have the added the results. He was committed to God, embraced God and His word. Every day of his life was working out another day, and yet nothing outstanding was happening. But he was committed unto the Holy Ghost. Also, he was committed to the temple or his church. I mean, he came to the same place every time and did what God bid him to do. There were certain priestly offices, certain things they did according to the law up until that time. But he was committed to the temple. Now, he was also committed when things were at a slower pace. This is where a lot of people miss it. You know, a marriage is not everyday honeymoon. A marriage is not everyday rockets firing and all the wonderful things that happen when you think about it. You know, there's a workaday world out there. And there are things you have to walk out and work out and believe out. And so every day in the temple was not the same. I don't know how long he had been waiting for this baby. I wish the scripture had told us, but if he'd wanted us to know, he would have told us. But he was waiting, doing what God told him last, doing what he should do, doing what he ought to do, but where's the baby? Being faithful, he's there. What he's doing is not the wrong thing. He's doing the right thing. But as every day comes to a close and he goes, oh, but where's the baby? Where's the baby? Where's the promise of God? Where is that commitment that God has made? And as I looked at that, he was committed not only to his church, the temple, he was committed to being there. You know, especially in this generation, it's hard to get people excited. Have you ever seen, or you have seen, some of you as a Christian, you don't want to see it, but I mean, you see the Super Bowl. And I mean, they have to spend millions of dollars to keep people's attention. I mean, when I was growing up, a kid enjoyed the box more than he enjoyed the toy. I mean, we did all kind of things with boxes. We built clubhouses. We put them up in a tree and had a tree house. Your imagination just ran wild. Are you with me tonight? It takes a lot to excite people. But let me tell you, there's something to this. You know, I see people come, they're born again, and they're filled with the Spirit, and good things happen. And then there's kind of a lull. And there are lull times in serving God to give us praise time to catch up. Some things just take time. Some things just take time. And so many people in churches say, if you don't have a circus, then it's not worth attending. No, we need to learn the lost art of sit and soak and praise and keep the switch of faith turned on. I expect something every time I come to church. I really do. Every time I come to church, whether I'm speaking or not, I expect to receive something from God. I expect to hear something from God. I really do. I don't just walk into church and say, well, here we are again. I come expecting. But this man, when rockets were not firing and when things weren't, you know, just off the charts, he didn't quit. He said, man, you know, temple is boring. I've been waiting all this time and no baby. Will God ever come through? Will God's promises ever work? Oh, but you see, every Sunday is not the same. Every season, every time and season is not the same. And we have to learn to hold steady in the exciting times and the times that may not be so exciting. This church in our history has had some very exciting services. But there are other kinds of services. Sometimes we need a pastor's input to our life. And one word that I might speak tonight could set your life in divine order or put your train back on the track. That can happen. I've had that happen to me when I've been in special services. I just listened and I learned. And if you learn one thing here tonight, it's worth coming out. If you learn one thing, if one word from God touched your heart, if one facet of what I'm saying could just get a grip on your life, oh, how wonderful that would be. Praise God. But as I look at Simeon, what if he didn't come to the temple on that day? What if Simeon woke up, he said, you know, I've been going a long time. I haven't seen that baby. I mean, he dedicated other children, but I haven't seen that one that I'm looking for. I just believe I'll quit. I'm not going to serve God anymore. What if he had not, you say, oh, come on, preacher. Yeah, no, I'm right on. What if he had not been there that day? He probably could have had someone do the same thing he did, but that would not fulfill the promise that God had given him. The promise is that you will see him. The promise is that you will embrace him. The promise is that you're going to have a personal involvement and heaven has the confidence in you that you'll be at the right place at the right time. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing in this world like being at the right place at the right time. And sometimes you're in a boring situation before you see the manifestation of that right thing. I think on highlights that God's given me through the years. I wished I could stay that way every day. I wished I could walk off a plane in Perth, Australia, so far from here. And people know me, but I don't know them. And they've been receiving our videos in the Bible school. And we were the first outside speaker that had come in for the Bible school in Perth. In fact, some of your parents were in that school over in Perth, Australia. I've been at the right place at the right time many times, but I don't know when I've seen a greater manifestation. I mean, you throw the ball and it was a home run every time. Amen. And there was an atmosphere. There was an atmosphere of expectancy. And it's just like you feel like you're pouring water on dry ground and it's receiving it. And I just thought, I'm at the right place at the right time. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all those days of driving to Dallas and back, and all the weariness of my body in trying to help another Bible school, not realizing we were sowing seeds for our own Bible college here. But when I arrived, how wonderful that was. I just rediscovered what it means to be at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever felt that. In travel, it's happened to me a few times. I'd be in an airport, some other nation, and I can't explain it, but something just began to sweep all over me. You're in the right place at the right time. There are times in this church I thought, Lord, I don't want to go home. Just slide me food under the door. Just let me praise the Lord. Just keep the PA system going. If that's why we have to have praise and worship, I just want to stay here for a while. There are times when God makes himself so real to you. But what if Simeon had not come to the temple on that day? He was committed to being led by the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. He was committed to being led by the Holy Spirit. It's right here in the verses that I've read you. It was the Holy Spirit that guided him to the house of God. Praise God. And it was the Holy Spirit that was a part of all this. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost revealed a word to him from God. And he was led to church by the Spirit. Three things. He was committed to being led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, how thrilling this is. He was committed. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost led him to church. I'll never forget my youngest brother. Thank you for that CD of one of Mother's teachings from the past. She said, anytime God really speaks to me strongly, it's from the book of Isaiah. I thought, dear Lord, that's where I got it. I know she must have said that during her lifetime, but that was the first time that it clicked, the correlation between the two of us. And she was just talking about how real the book of Isaiah and how precious are the promises and things that are there. But she brought out the night that I've talked to you about many times. I've got to speed up here. How that Satan tried to take my life in an automobile accident. God awakened her. She prayed through about it and was just getting back into bed. And my collie dog, we had a two-story house. My collie dog began to just moan. You ever hear a dog just kind of, do wolves do that or coyotes? I don't know. Just making so much noise. She got out of bed and started praying again. About 30 minutes later, I called her and said, Mom, she said, I know you've had an accident and said it's time for you to turn your life over to God. You know, it's so wonderful to be led by the Spirit. The same thing with my brother in another different but similar accident. I'll never forget the night that God awakened me and said, go to your brother. It was about 2:30 in the middle of the night. I cannot tell you, I went out to my car in obedience to God, started the motor, and started for the south, the southwest. So, and so help me, if I was ever at the right place at the right time, that car drove right up to the apartment that he was in. His was the only light on that was in that grouping. I got out of my car, knocked on the door, still not knowing where he lived, and my brother came to the door. My brother had gone through a very tragic time in his life. And he said, my God, man, he'd contemplated on taking his own life that night. Folks, we must be led by the Spirit. It's so important to be led by the Spirit. It's so important to be at the right place at the right time. But the thought that I want to leave with you, just bringing this to a close. Hallelujah. He was committed to the Word God had given him. You know, when you're committed, you ever had a sure, unshakable word from God? I did. I have. It doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen all the time. But the beginning of this church was in Isaiah 41:10. And God gave it to me. And I was committed to that word. I was committed to that word. Folks, this is what God's calling us to. It's not just the song I sing and the message I preach, you're coming out to church and do what, blah, 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 yeah. But Thank God, we need to have an unshakable word from God and lock in on it. And hell cannot shake us loose. I'm saying something. That keeps you from just being a floater in life. If I feel good, I have it. If I don't feel good, I don't have it. Maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm doing something God wants me to do, maybe I'm not. But he locked in to the word that God had given him. I couldn't tell you how many times in this period of time since we started this church in 1964 that we've laid hold of a promise of God. I'd have quit so many times, it'd make your head spin. Because enough is enough. It's not always fun being a pastor. They know where you are. They know where you live. They know how to nail you. You can't get in your private jet and roar off somewhere. We're visible. We're touchable. And if someone says, well, I just don't know my pastor. Well, you're blind then. If you just watch your pastor and just listen to him preach, he'll tell it. He'll tell it all. You'll know more about him than you know about anybody else. But here's what I want to say, and I want you to lock in on this. Folks, it's so important. Get an unshakable word from God. Get an unshakable word from God. Read, you know, if you feel discouraged or you're kind of on a high center, spiritually speaking, read yourself until the word of God explodes in your heart, and then draw a circle around it, put the brakes on, lock in and say, here I stand, I can do no other. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. David said in Psalms 27, unless I'd believed, I would have fainted. There's a lot of things in life that'll make you faint. But when you have a promise of God, this man had a word from God. Simeon, before you die, you will see the Christ child. It didn't look like it. It didn't feel like it. Time was running out. He's getting older. Where in the world is the promise of God? God's clock doesn't run on our time. God's calendar's not always on our time. But I believe God. It shall be even as he has said. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! I believe God. Get an unshakable word from God. What has God said to you? What has God made real to you? What truth has God brought to your attention in the midst of the night, maybe? Or it might be in church or wherever it might be. It's God's word that keeps me and sustains me. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet if you would. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands and let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we praise you and we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sneffy, would you mind if I prayed for you? Would you? Sophie, why not? Sophie, come in. I want two or three or four of you ladies just to come. This sweet girl is just reaching out for God's will in her life. She's from Australia, from Adelaide, Australia. We know her family and her parents and her church and her pastor. I want us just to pray for this precious girl tonight that God's going to just, hallelujah. God sees your heart, honey. God knows your heart. I have daughters and granddaughters. So my heart goes out. Praise God. But I'll tell you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Father, we reach out in the name of Jesus. We reach out in the name of Jesus. Maybe the reason for this service tonight was to be a blessing to a daughter from a great church and a great family in Australia. Oh, Father, I just ask you to give her unshakable words, peace, grace, love, power. Give her unstoppable, unshakable insight to the fact that God has a wonderful plan for her life. And I say in the name of Jesus, Hallelujah. You're coming to this city and to this church at this time. You're at the right place at the right time. And God is going to make himself real to you in a new way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we said a one-hour service. I'm through preaching. Oh, we could just close with a semicircle of praise unto God. Let's just lift our voice to God tonight. You've blessed me so much, all of you, just being here tonight. Amen. I know it's holiday and some have more obligation than others. But just lift your hands and just say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, as we forgive others, we accept your forgiveness. Oh, yes. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. Let's give him a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless the Lord. Well, we're going to dismiss you. Praise God. Let's be back for Saturday night. Saturday night youth, huh? All right, Saturday night youth. And Sunday, Brother Greg Moore is going to be ministering for us Sunday, so it's going to be just a powerful week. God bless you. Go with God. Thank you.
joy to me.